I'm a freaking idiot.
Yes.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
True.
10 points to Gryffindor!
Hello and welcome to the 13th episode of Between the Pixels.
Ooh, unlucky 13.
Actually, we're skipping that number. We're going to 14.
There's no 13th floor.
Did you know about that?
Did I know about what?
There's like, they don't have 13 floors on like any building.
Okay, that's not true at all. Some buildings have 13th floors, some don't.
Like all the skyscrapers in New York, they don't have 13th floor.
Not all of them.
Yeah, but if you're going to jump out of a building on the 14th floor, you know you're really jumping out on the 13th floor.
Who? That's a comedian. I've heard that joke before. People on the 14th floor, you know you're on the 13th floor. Something like that. I think that's George Lopez, who's my favorite.
That's the worst comedian to mimic. That's terrible.
I'm just kidding. It's not George Lopez. His is usually about... It's like, Hispanic people, we're crazy. Don't mess with us.
But speaking of that, if you steal a joke from Carlos Mencia, do you steal a joke from everybody then?
That's a good point. He does steal a lot. He openly admitted to buying a joke book before he went on stage for the first time. How bad is that?
Who cares?
If it was his first time, like, I'd be pretty nervous. I would buy it. I would.
No, he's been doing comedy, but like the first time he's gone on stage for like a paid gig. Like he's been on open mic nights, he would just go up and do stuff like that.
Did he
but
do well?
Time,
because like I could be okay with someone just reading a joke book to me and being really funny.
No, he did.
If
terrible.
They deliver it well, I mean, I doubt he does because he's dumb.
Carlos Mencia.
Carlos Mencia. I mean, seriously.
Hello and welcome to the 14th episode of Between the Pixels.
Yeah, Jared, we're going to skip 13.
Oh, no, this is 13. Deal with it. Happy 13th, everybody. We're all going to die.
This is going to be horrible. This is going to be the worst podcast we ever put out.
You know what is sad about the 13th episode? This comes right after GamePro closes down.
Aw.
So goodbye, GamePro.
I'm Devin.
I'm Jared.
I'm Derek.
And I'm Brian.
Ooh, you were working on your intro, weren't you? I'm Brian.
Brian, you've changed up your intro.
Oh, you added inflection into your voice. How wonderful.
You added an affliction t-shirt.
You got plus 10 douchebag points for wearing an affliction t-shirt.
I have affliction t-shirts.
Derek is plus 20.
10 points to Gryffindor!
Hey, if you didn't know, we are the podcast for Pixel Perfect. PixelPerfectMag.com is the URL. Check it out. We got news and stuff going up on the website. Read it. What about non-news articles? Oh, Devin had a What Do You Mean You Haven't Played article on Twisted Metal 3 go up this week. Don't read it, because no one likes Twisted Metal 3.
Everyone likes Twisted Metal 3, Jared.
Nope.
We'll have to have a debate about that at some point.
Yeah, we'll debate why you're wrong.
Well, why you like what? Twisted Metal 1? You can pick 1 or 2.
2. 2 is much better.
Okay.
But you have to put Black in there also, because Black is amazing. 2 and Black, what, because Black's better than all of them?
No, we're just talking about PS1 games.
Okay, well then 2 is clearly the best. We'll debate that sometime.
All right.
Future podcasts.
Well, okay, wait, Derek, choose.
I don't like any of the Twisted Metals. I played Vigilante 8.
Oh my gosh.
You were certainly wrong then. I've never played Vigilante 8, though.
That was a good game.
Vigilante 8? I think me and Brian talked about this before. You liked Vigilante 8, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good shit.
Every time someone says Vigilante 8, I think of that big trucker game.
Well, there are trucks in it. I mean...
Big Truck Mother Effa or something like that.
Big Mother Truckers.
Big Mother Trucker.
Okay, no, I'm not thinking of that one.
Okay, then I have no idea what you're talking about. But yeah, there is like, you can ride like a bus and some kind of truck.
Did you ever see that show, Ice Road Truckers?
Yeah, that's like Twisted Metal.
Yeah, that is the dumbest show ever. It's just about, I can't believe they have a show about people that drive trucks on slippery roads.
Well, if you put it that way, yeah, it sounds dumb, but...
slippery roads. It's hard to control, Derek.
It sounds really stupid, but it's fun to watch.
No, it's terrible.
It is like Twisted Metal. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. Oh, we're going to drive this truck. The road's really slippery, though. Ah, cut the commercial.
I don't know. I used to watch, what was that other one about catching crabs?
What?
Deadliest Catch.
Deadliest Catch. I love Deadliest Catch. I used to watch it all the time, but all they do is go out there All they do is go out in the water and catch crabs.
Yeah, but the water was crazy. There was
yeah. So was the ice on the roads, and they're driving this humongous truck.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Over mountains and stuff. It's way better than most other things. Like what's that stupid one where they buy
Pawn Shop Wars.
Pawn.
Oh no, Pawn Shop Wars sucks. But this one sucks too. But it's where they go and they buy like empty warehouses and stuff like that.
It's not a Storage Wars.
Yeah, that's super scripted and super crappy. But everyone loves that for some reason.
Storage Wars? Really?
Screw that crap. Anyway, hey, new low score, number 6 went up this Saturday. Check it out every Saturday, high noon. Remember each week that we're supposed to be playing a new indie game. Sometimes we forget or get busy, like we did.
Oh, with the holidays, we just kind of skipped over.
Just the holidays. There's only been one holiday so far.
No, you count in the holidays, there's Halloween. There's Thanksgiving. There's Christmas. There's Martin Luther King Day.
Black Friday.
President's Day.
Oh, way to be racist, Devin. Jeez, Black Friday.
Black People Day.
I think it's African American Day. Jeez.
African Black People Day. Anyway, what have you guys been playing this week? Video games?
No. I've
okay, we've all been playing Skyrim, probably. Do you want to get Skyrim out of the way? Let's talk about Skyrim this week.
Yeah, I was actually playing with children in Skyrim. Like tag and stuff, not like the weird way.
Do you actually get to play tag with them? They're like, hey,
yeah, I thought it was just...
What?
I mean, I thought it's kind of dumb that they added that, but it's also like really cool.
No, I think that's cool. It's not that I'm dying to play tag with little kids, but yeah, it's but cool that they just have that level of depth.
Yeah, because I mean, it's kind of like it's almost realistic in that sense because, I mean, kids always ask older people to play tag.
Tag's fun.
And, if you talk to them at the right time when they're actually playing with other kids, then they'll be like, hey, you want to play tag with us or hide and go seek? And then one of them will run and you can be it. I mean, of course, you can just like, you can run twice as fast as they can. So you can like kind of play it up a little bit if you want to role play and like chase them while they're running. Or you can just completely destroy
I'm not gonna
them
roll-
in tag.
My life isn't so sad, Brian, that I'm going to role play tag in a video game. But I bet you did.
No, never. Why would
you
I
act like
do
it
that?
Was your kid?
No, like role play, like not run fast. See, if I was them, what's the one dragon shout that can knock people over, knock them back? Because I would use that on them to win at tag.
Who brought
you?
Who brought you?
I'm a freaking idiot.
Yes,
this has happened to me. This guy was
true.
Like, this guy had this enchanted weapon, and he just kept on killing me like repeatedly. And then I realized that I had this disarm shout, and I just shouted at him and disarmed him and killed him. I was just like, I'm such an idiot. Why didn't I even think about that to begin with?
Can he pick up his weapon?
I did eventually. No, well, if you pick it up first,
well, yeah,
he can't pick it up.
The Skyrim patch went out this week. Did anybody? There's been a lot more issues with the patch than things that have been helpful, like fixing issues. So have you guys run into any issues with the patch? Or have any of you guys updated besides me?
I haven't updated yet.
I haven't either.
I have. And, wasn't this a patch that was supposed to fix the problem of, what was it? The when you're installed on the hard drive, right?
Yeah, when you install it to the hard drive, there have been a lot of texture issues, and it seems like this one actually created more texture issues, but it's also created a lot of other weird things. One of the game-breaking things, there's been different issues where, different things that you would use for, like, defensive bonuses that you might equip or potions and stuff like that, they stop working. Some people's magic has stopped working. For me, my frame rate in certain areas just drops. Like certain areas that I've been into before and haven't had any problems, it just like drops to a crawl, and
yeah,
I can barely play.
My fiance today, actually.
Yeah, so there's been some bad things. There's been some funny things where like the dragons are flying backwards for some people, and that looks pretty funny.
Oh, that sucks.
There's some pretty cool videos out there about that. Anyway, what have you guys been doing in Skyrim since you haven't had issues with the patch?
I've been running around making money, killing dragons.
Oh, you're doing the whole real estate thing now, huh?
No, I haven't bought a house yet, but I'm going to soon. I only have like 15,000 gold or something like that, and I want to get a big house, not one of the little ones, so... I'm just killing dragons and selling their scales and stuff. It's pretty fun.
Oh, so you're selling those scales?
Oh yeah. What do you do with them?
I save them to build armor with them.
How, you can't even hold that many.
Yeah, that's why you have a house.
Oh, you have a house already?
Yeah. It only costs like 5,000 gold to have a house, and then another 2,000 to fix it up.
And white run, at least.
Yeah. So, basically, you kill dragons, take their stuff, and then... Well, do you think I should not be selling them?
Depends. I mean, if you want to go kill those dragons again, that's fine. But, like, you get... Are you using heavy or light armor?
I'm using light now, actually.
Well, the best light armor is dragon.
Shit.
Yeah.
So, dang it, I screwed up. Well, yeah, how many skills does it take to, like, make something good?
A bit.
Like, at least over 20?
About that.
Oh, no, not that many.
How many skills do you have stored up?
I have, like, 6 different characters like I usually do.
Oh, Jesus.
That's unnecessary.
No, actually, the Khajiit are really awesome, I found out today. They have that unarmed claw attack, which does 15 damage when you're unarmed.
Yeah, but how often are you ever using that?
It replaces my sword.
Whatever. Are you going to answer my question?
No, no, because you also have the heavy armor perk, where your unarmed attacks do your armor rating in melee attacks. So my Khajiit's doing like 50-some damage, basically.
Have we all beaten the main quest yet? Can we talk about that?
Nope.
Yeah, I beat it.
Dang it.
You haven't beat it, Jared?
Nope. It's not like we're going to talk about it on here anyway. We're not going to spoil anything.
I'm going to spoil it all.
Well, I actually... Something cool happened to me, though. I managed to get a sneak attack on a dragon with a pair of daggers, and there's Dark Brother has these gloves that double your sneak attack damage. So I did, like, 30 times sneak attack damage on this dragon. The thing got up, flew around, and crashed on the ground and died. It was, like, just funny to watch it.
That's because it has to... The dragons, in some ways, have become disappointing to me, because that's one of the things. They have to have, like, this animation. They have to find a certain place to die.
Yeah.
I wish they could just, like, die in the air and just fall down wherever.
That'd be
but
cool.
They have to find somewhere to land and then die. Fighting dragons has become almost monotonous to me at this point, because I've killed a lot, and it's just become where it's like, okay, it might land on something once in a while, but most of the time it's just going to circle above and get really annoying, and then you got to wait for it to finally come down. Then you blast it a little bit, and then it flies away again. It's not... I wish it would come down on the ground and run around and, like, eat villagers and
you dude, could... you need to progress the main quest, and then dragon fights would be a lot different. You're complaining about dragon fights because I know for a fact you haven't progressed very far in the main quest, because...
But how, like, that doesn't... Okay, maybe it's just my lack of understanding of what happens in the quest, but it just seems like, what are they just like, okay, well, for the first half, we're just going to have a really crappy AI, and then suddenly we're going to give them great AI.
Well, it's not that the AI changes. It's just you get an ability later on in the quest, which I don't know how much I can really say of this. Maybe I should stop soon. But you get this ability that completely changes the dynamic of a dragon fight. You need to progress down the main quest a little bit more.
You know what, Jared? Do you care that much if I tell you what happens?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't.
It depends. It depends how much. It depends on what you're telling me. If you're telling me like the story context of something cool that's going to happen, then yeah.
Okay, this isn't
saying, like,
story at all, then.
Well, if you're just saying like about getting another dragon to fight along with you, we already know that.
No, it's not that.
Basically, you get an ability.
Go ahead if you want to do it.
Okay, you get an ability that makes dragons land.
Okay.
So you don't have to shoot them with an arrow or magic repeatedly, make them land, and then run up to them and kill them.
Yeah, there's a shout.
Yeah, but I don't think their land fighting is any better than the sky fighting. I mean, the sky, that'll cut out the annoyingness of having to wait for them to land, but...
Yeah, I mean, without Dragon Rend, you have to constantly be, like, ducking for cover, because they can attack you from the sky, and you can't do shit about it unless you're going to toss a couple arrows them that way, but that's really not that effective, at least with
Lightning
my archery
works
level.
Works best against them, I think.
Yeah, you could do that.
Because you don't have to lead the shot. It's pretty much instant.
Good point. Okay. So, yeah, but, I mean, how much damage are you really going to pile on?
A billion.
Like that?
Well, I'm playing a high elf. I have a bit of magic, and it actually, you know, you can do it quite a bit.
I guess I didn't ever fight that way, because by the time I got lightning, I already had dragon rends, and I could just make them land, so. But, like, basically, once the dragon lands, and then... you know they're about to take off, you can just do Dragon Rend, and they'll stay put.
That so basically just makes dragon fights nothing at that point.
No, no, because
they're still
it.
Deadly because they still breathe fire at you when they're on the ground.
Right,
still
but do they move
you.
Around and do other stuff, or do they just sit in one place like they usually do when they land?
Pretty much sit in one place, but if you're playing a mage and you're wearing light armor, I mean, you still got to pay attention to your health. It's not like you're just going to walk up there and, you know.
Right, no,
put
no,
it
no. It's
them.
Not like I just stand there and just like blasting into them and it's nothing. But like, I don't know. I guess I wish they were more dynamic and more varied. I think. Even though dragons were one of the things that were like pumped up about Skyrim, and this is their first go at putting dragons in a game like this, so I can understand the first time not being absolutely incredible. But
I disagree.
I think they could be a lot better. And I feel like if there's one thing in the game that I wouldn't even say disappointed with, but I don't care about fighting the dragons at this point anymore. They're just not. I don't. If I have to fight a dragon, it becomes a chore. I'm like, ugh. And sometimes I'll just like reload a game and not go to that area just to avoid maybe not fighting the game or fighting the dragon.
Maybe you fought a lot of dragons, but I still have a lot of enjoyment out of fighting the dragons, even with Dragonrand.
I don't. Like, does anyone else feel the same way as me? Like, if there's a dragon, you feel like, oh, great, I have to fight a dragon.
No, man, yeah, I do. I like seeing them. Sometimes I get bored walking and I'm like, man, I wish there was a dragon here.
I hate seeing them because I'm not really good at fighting them because I'm such a low level.
What level are you?
Destroy me. I'm like 13.
Oh, I'm that level.
You should be destroying dragons at that point, Devin.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
What?
You're just bad, Devin.
No, they
terrible.
Kill me so quick.
What?
Yeah, I know. Like, but I've the first dragon I killed, I was like 7 years old.
Why do you always say
or
seven
level
years
seven?
Old.
I don't know.
I killed it at a lower level than that. I beat the whole quest on like level 9 or something.
How? I don't even see how you can do that.
I'm good
because I like level up so quick.
Dude, I just barreled right through the.
Yeah,
you can do
Derek
it, like...
doesn't do anything but play the main quest. So like, he's not doing.
No, even then, I just don't see how he can do it.
That's like, all I did. I didn't take any variations.
I started a new game once, and I went through the entire Thieves Guild, and I was level 20 when I was done.
I know how you play these games, Brian. I know you go off on other and do other things for a while, though. You don't just consistently
progress.
No, not
this time. I just went right through the main quest of the Thieves Guild.
Oh, okay. So I've seen you play Oblivion a bajillion times. You've went through the game a bajillion times. You've done it one way every single time. But now I'm supposed to believe you the one time you say that you went right through it? I don't think so.
No, I did. Okay. I don't do any side quests.
It's not even about side quests, but like you try to level up a character. It's not like Derek's not even trying that. He's just going through like, okay, what's my next quest? All right, I'm going there regardless of anything else. He just goes to the next thing.
No, I wasn't
like
sitting there like casting spells to cast spells. Everything I did
Brian,
to
there...
further the fight.
Okay, yeah, but did you do when you say about the main you just did the main quest. You didn't do any of the side stuff in the Thieves Guild.
No, Thieves Guild. Yeah, I just did the
There's no way you leveled to 20 without doing anything extra through there. Because I'm level 22 right now and I've done a lot of stuff in the game.
Maybe it's because I took the Thief Stone instead of the other things, but still.
Okay, so I have a gripe. Puzzle rooms. Do you guys like you know what I'm talking about when I say puzzle rooms, right?
The
rooms
draw
with puzzles in
puzzle
them.
Rooms?
I don't know what they're called exactly. But yeah, you gotta change the pillars and different things like that.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
I can't figure them out. Like, I figured out a handful of them, and other ones I just fucking Googled because it's too long. I was wasting too much time there.
Are you just sitting there turning stones and guessing?
Well, no. I mean, I was looking at other elements in the room to give me hints, and then...
Sometimes you have to, like, there's one point where you might have to find a book or a letter or something like that kind of describes what to do.
Yeah.
Like, there's this one where you pick up this claw from this guy. I think it's like a diamond claw or something, or gold claw or something. And then if you pick it up and inspect it, it has the answer on the claw. And, like, different things like that, I figured out myself. But other things, I'm just like, I'm wasting too much time. I just Google it.
Nope. Never had this problem. I just looked around. The
nope.
longest it took me one
I'm
time
man.
Was about 10 minutes.
So, like, so you're saying sometimes you have to, like, read books to get the answer?
Yep.
You have to read? Yeah, but some of it's, like, really short. Like, the one is, like, maybe 3 pages. And every paragraph, you don't even have to read it. Every paragraph starts, like, the snake, the whale, the fish, or whatever. I forget what they
are. The
eagle,
yeah.
The eagle. And
that's the order.
You don't even have to look at that. You can just look at the beginning and see, like, what it says and be like, okay, well, that's the order. I'll try it in. It's something complicated. You want to know something hilarious? Did you guys see the serial killer video for Skyrim?
No, it's not funny.
No?
It's not, well, it's not really funny, but it's kind of creepy. This guy, he has a house in Skyrim. I don't know what house it is because I haven't seen it before, but it's a video on YouTube, or just Google it, Skyrim serial killer. You'll find the video. And this guy, anyway, he's killed a bunch of NPCs and has their bodies strewn around the house, and he's cut off their heads, and he has, like, some heads sitting on tables, and he has, like, a bookshelf full of heads. So it's, like, pretty cool. It's, like,
you can do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can, like, chop off their head and just carry it around?
For some reason, there's a glitch where they'll follow you into their house, into your house.
I think he's killed, like, all of his, like, different companions that he could get. He just gets companions and then brings them in their house and slaughters them and cuts off their head and puts it on a shelf.
Well, it's a good thing he's doing this in a video game and not real life.
I don't know about that. That's next. He probably started with small animals.
It would be crazy if he, like, It would be crazy if he built, like, a kill room, like in Dexter. And, like, got him to lay down on the table or something.
And then put pictures up around him.
Yeah. That's what I want to see. Someone make a video of that.
Besides Skyrim, has anybody been playing any other video games?
I just downloaded Infinity Blade for my iPhone.
The second one or the first one?
Infinity Blade 2.
Did you play the first one?
No. Am I supposed to?
No. I don't know. But I was just wondering.
I don't know anything about it other than, like, the very basics of, like, what I read online and a recommendation from a friend, basically.
But supposed to be really good, though.
Supposed to be really good. It's like $7, though.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
You'll get a lot of playtime out of that.
Hope so. Combat's supposed to be really good. It's supposed to look really nice. One friend at work bought it already, and he was showing me a little bit of it, and it looks pretty freaking good.
It's made in the Unreal 3 engine, so it should look
pretty
decent.
That's crazy. Unreal 3 engine on a phone.
Yeah, I played Infinity Blade 1.
Infinity Blade 1 is $5.99.
It was worth it. It was pretty cool.
What do you do in it other than just, like, fight?
Sword fight. You can cast magic spells and stuff.
It's just like a fighter.
It's basically an RPG. I mean, you rank up. You level up. And, you know, it's item-based, too. Potions and shit.
But that's all it is? Like, you don't explore or do anything else?
What you do is you, like, block and duck, and then you parry. And the way you do that is by pushing things on the screen, and then you, when you get them, like, stunned, you start slashing away. And you just use your finger, like a swipe, like a thing, to swipe, slice.
So, you don't do anything but fight, though, right?
Well, there's a story to it. I mean, like, you progress through a story, and there's boss fights and stuff like that, but
call that a story, though.
I know. It's barely a story, but
you get to walk around on your own?
No.
No, it's not. Yeah,
kind of like on a train, on a rail?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That sucks.
You have a couple different choices, and if you click certain spots, you'll get, like, bonuses and stuff, like more gold.
But I'm going to play this with AirPlay on my Apple TV, so my phone will be the controller, and I'll still be playing on TV.
That's cool. I'd probably rather play that way anyway, because I wouldn't want to play on the screen.
Yeah, my finger would get in my way.
Yeah.
My sausage fingers would get in my way. Plus, the iPhone screen is such a small screen anyway.
Here we go. Okay.
It's such a terrible phone anyway. So.
It's such a terrible phone. So.
I bought my mom an iPad 2 for Christmas.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Oh, I hope she doesn't listen to this.
What if she listens to this podcast?
Oh,
she's going to know.
She doesn't even know my podcast.
She doesn't know about my secret life.
She's going to be disappointed when she throws that in the garbage can. You will be.
When she uses that, oh, you bought a really expensive coffee coaster.
Oh, did you get her a cutting board?
No, it's... How dare you?
A cutting board.
Well, sorry, Derek's mom, that you got one of those things.
She's going to love it.
Maybe your son will get you something good next year.
She's just going to play Facebook on it or something.
Play Facebook?
Well, go on Facebook and, like, read people's statuses. That's pretty much all she does on her computer.
Yeah, that's all I do on mine.
Your mommy's been a bad girl this year.
What is
an iPad too?
Hey, that's what she wants.
So, have you played Infinity Blade at all, or you just downloaded it?
I just downloaded it and then checked the forums and realized I should probably podcast tonight.
Okay.
That was going to be my Saturday, or what is today? Sunday evening, but here I am talking to you jerks.
Life sucks, doesn't it? Derek, Brian, anything else? before I talk about climate change?
What climate change?
I've been playing this video game about climate change.
Is it Al Gore? Super climate change?
I have to do it for review. It's called Fate of the World, Tipping Point, and
it looks great.
Okay, here's the thing. It's about climate change. This game goes under the assumption that mankind is the cause of climate change, and now we have to, like, you are the global leader that has to now control 12 different countries, and it's a strategy game, and you have to basically try to solve all these different issues, yada yada. Anyway, so regardless of your stance on climate change and whether it's man-made or whatever, this game says it is, and you have to fix it by playing different cards, which sounds weird, but it's actually pretty simplistic. The gameplay is actually kind of fun. I mean, I played for like 6 hours straight the other night, not last night, I mean. Not because I really wanted to, because I had to, but it's kind of fun once you get into it. But the biggest problem about the whole game is that you spend a huge portion of your time looking at charts and graphs, which I don't think anybody weird. In a game
sounds
wants
like
to...
a job.
Yeah, I know. That's what it feels like. Like, I'm poring over... There's 12 different countries, and I'm poring over all these stupid charts and graphs about every little dumb thing that you can think of. I mean, maybe in the real world, when, you know, scientists are actually looking at this stuff, yeah, this is all the stuff they have to cover. But in a game, that's not fun. It's not fun to sit there and look at charts and graphs.
What kind of charts are you looking at?
Super Scientist Sim.
There's like just like how much pollution you're putting out, and they don't say pollution necessarily. The different things that are being released, whatever. There's different things like forestry is big in this area, or maybe their dependency. You look at their dependency on certain different oils, or you know, there's a lot of different things that you're looking over, and it's just. It becomes so annoying. Like, you have to watch like temperatures and just all this little stuff that's. Like, the gameplay itself, when you're actually taking your turn, because it's a turn-based game.
What, so you're playing against global climate change or something?
Basically, like, you're playing by yourself. There's no one else playing. But it's turn-based. Like, you take a turn, and you can recruit people in one of the 12... Or you can put different recruits in every country, up to 5 recruits. And each... Well, they call it recruits, but... in each of the 12 countries, and then you have a chance to play cards every turn. Each card costs money, and you only have so much money, which you get from the different countries, yada yada. So you can play up to 5 cards in each country, and there's different things like if the people aren't happy with you, you can start enrolling like education or better healthcare or something like that.
That's what's on the cards.
Yeah, there's different options. Or maybe the place is becoming overpopulated, so you have to enact like a one child policy, which, you know, everyone can only have one child, which people obviously don't like. So to counterbalance that, maybe you do something else like better education or better transportation, fix the roads, junk like that.
Dude, all the this game sounds so weird.
Yeah.
So sounds, this game actually was sounds made cool. by Al Gore or just supported by
No, him? it's some independent... company.
Are they like trying to teach you a lesson or something?
Yeah, I think, well, that's the thing. I don't know who this is supposed to appeal to, because this game is very, very, first of all, there's obviously two spectrums out there, whether you believe climate change is man-made or not. This obviously is already centered on the people who already believe that it's man-made. But even then, it is so complicated. Like, the gameplay of laying cards is the simple part, but keeping track of everything, you have to read, you can get news for the area. For each little region, you can keep track of the different charts in each little region. So to keep track of all that stuff, that's way too complicated for a kid to understand. So who is this appealing to? It's obviously not appealing to kids as an educational tool. And it's not trying to get other people who don't agree with man-made climate change. So I don't know who this is for, other than people who already believe that it's man-made and already have a very good knowledge. Already have very good knowledge on all the different things it's asking you to understand. Because there's some things in the game, I mean, they have like a dictionary, sort of, whatever you want to call it, there, where like they use a lot of different terms that you might not know about, and you can look and like read up about them and understand what they mean, so that's helpful. But some of the stuff is just so complicated that it just gets ridiculous at certain points. Like, I just stop looking at the charts because I don't care to sit there and just read over every little chart, because there's different charts for all 12 countries. There's so many things. And let's say there's like 20 charts. There's 20 charts for like each country that you would have to go over to keep track of. And it's just way too much. It gets way too complicated.
So are you looking at like the world and just like spinning around the world and clicking on specific countries that you have to regulate?
Yeah, there's only...
Kind of like a Google Earth thing?
Sort of. Like, there's 12 countries, and you can ignore some. There's somewhere, like, at the beginning, I'll look, like, who's giving me the most money, and the people that are giving the least money, I don't even care about. Just let them die off. I don't care about them. But then I'll look at the countries that are giving me the most money, and I'll make sure to keep them happy so that they'll continue to give me money and give me more money and whatnot.
And what's the goal of this game?
There's different goals. There's only like six scenarios, and each scenario has... There's no such thing as winning, I guess. I don't know if that's like part of the message, but there are win-lose conditions. There's somewhere like you can't let the global temperature go above 3 degrees. There's other ones where you just have to make it to this... because every time you take a turn, it advances 5 years. So it might say you have to make it to this certain year without people killing you or you know, everyone turning against you, or you killing the world, you know, stuff like that.
Is there a multiplayer where you can like...
Nope.
PvP?
Nope. Because the whole thing is you versus what we've supposedly done to the world already, and try to fix that.
Why would they think this game could succeed?
I don't know. That's the thing I don't get. I don't know who it's supposed to appeal to. Because like when we were kids, no kids are going to be able to play this. This isn't like Oregon Trail, where it's very, very simple and easy to use. This is like extremely complicated for kids. So I don't get what their point is with this. At the core of it, it's not really a bad strategy game. The biggest problem is, there's also not a tutorial or anything really. So you spend a lot of time just trying to figure stuff out. So that's awesome. So anyway, I don't know. Review going up this week.
How about the graphics?
They're not bad. They're simplistic. It's a strategy game. You don't expect much from it. The interface is very clean and easy to use. I'll give it that.
You don't have much experience with like specific just strategy games, do you?
Certain ones, but like not overall.
But you think it's still like a decent strategy game?
Yeah, I think it's appealing to an extremely niche audience, and some of it is too complicated for its own good. But at the same time, the idea of the gameplay is very simplistic. There's not a lot of rules. There's not a lot of concepts you have to understand. It's kind of... some of it's trial and error. Some of it's just, you know, think long and hard about it before you actually play certain cards. But that's not the complicated part about it. I guess the biggest part is there's no tutorial and too many graphs and charts to look at. That's where it really becomes complicated and frustrating. Anyway, yeah, review forthcoming for you climate change enthusiasts.
Awesome.
Anyway, let's move on to some news, from some video game news. What's in the news? EA's the worst person ever. You want to talk about that?
What particular thing?
Well, there's two things about EA being terrible. First up, you guys have heard this little game called Tetris, right?
No. Yeah. What's it about? Sounds like something about shapes and stuff.
How would you gather that?
It sounds like something about shapes in which you turn them and you can put them in certain orders.
No, I was only addicted to that game for about a year. I played nothing but Tetris. Mostly because I was a child and had no money for other video games.
But... sorry about that.
Sorry about you being a child.
Sorry about your childhood.
Brian, you're still a child.
Well, anyway, so EA is allowing you to... They launched a Tetris game on the iOS, and they have this new club called the T-Club.
Is it like Bronies?
And, yeah, it's like Weekend at Bernie's.
No, it's like Bronies.
What's Bronies?
What?
Oh, you mean like pony people?
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, Bronies.
Anyone that calls himself a Brony is the worst person on the earth.
I'm a Brony.
You're the worst. Are you really a Brony?
No. What is this Tetris game you're talking about? So I'm going to download it.
It's a regular Tetris game.
No, yeah, it's a regular Tetris game on iOS, but they have this thing that you can sign up for called the T-Club. It costs $2.99 per month or $29.99 per year and gives you access to quote-unquote exclusive discounts and content premium Tetris log challenges and a booster to progress Tetris log faster.
$30 a year.
So you can level up in a Tetris game, basically. It's 99 cents on the App Store to actually buy the app. But EA wants you to pay for Tetris Club thing.
Monthly.
That has been out for decades. Well, yeah.
Tetris is available on everything ever. And it's just one of those games that's everywhere.
Tetris is available on calculator, for crying out loud.
Yeah, this seems wrong for them to charge for something like this. I mean, Tetris is a fun game, and it can be challenging, but come on. What are you doing here?
No, the problem is that people are actually going to pay for this.
Yeah, Japanese people. In Japan, they have like Tetris tournaments.
Still?
Those guys have to be ridiculous at Tetris.
They are. They're really fast. But like, I'm sure some people in the U.S., they probably have some stuff like that, like Tetris tournaments and stuff. But still, I mean, this is something that I would have expected from Activision. But I guess
EA, yeah.
Yeah, but EA started to come around in the last few years. But I guess they're just going back to their old ways of being a horrible, horrible company.
They were like sitting at a board meeting like, how can we screw people over? Let's charge people for the most simple basic game ever.
Tetris Club. Are you kidding me?
The Tetris Club, though, Jared. You can actually say that.
You can level up. So that's cool, I guess.
You can get premium content. Discounts.
What's premium content? You get, like, different colored blocks?
Yeah, exactly. You get cool different levels.
You have to pay to unlock the extra blocks. You start out with just lines. Just the straight lines.
That would make it really easy.
Or just, no, you start out with the squiggly S ones, or whatever they're called. So it's, like, impossible to do.
That would be pretty hard.
I don't know. They're the worst. But hey, that doesn't stop. It doesn't stop there with EA being a terrible company.
What else do they do, Jared?
So EA, they're still horrible. Online passes. You guys remember the whole online pass thing where you have to have an online pass to play certain online games? Like if you buy it used, you have to pay $10 or yada yada.
Mm-hmm.
Well, apparently they can expire.
What?
Wah, wah, wah.
It's been discovered that they can expire, locking brand new copies of games out of various multiplayer modes.
Somebody's going to be disappointed.
So if you don't use your online pass, like right away, I'm guessing, then it just runs out, disappears.
Well, nothing's mentioned about like the time period of how long it takes.
No, it doesn't say. Yeah, it doesn't say how long, but apparently a lot of people with the game Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. Is that Need for Speed Hot Pursuit? It's an older game.
No, there's a new one. The new Hot Pursuit game that came out. I guess people who, if you buy that brand new, that had the online code,
see, that came
expired
out,
now.
But that came out November 16th of 2010. So, I mean, it's about a year old, but still.
It might be like a year expiration, which is really dumb. It's dumb to have the online passes to begin with, let alone have an expiration date.
Well, what happened is apparently this guy bought it. He just bought it recently. But it was a game that has been on a shelf for a while, and his online pass has run out. So he bought the game recently, but now he can't play it online without paying another $10. So basically, he's paying, now I don't know how much it is at this point, but he's still paying more regardless, it was a new game. Whether he paid $20 for it or $60 for it, it was a new game. And now he has to pay $10 more to actually get an online pass to play with people.
I don't understand their choice of doing this. What's the reasoning?
Because they're a horrible company. I don't know. Why do online passes even exist in the first place?
Yeah, that's true.
It's all about the Benjamins, I suppose.
Apparently EA and companies like EA didn't get the memo that screwing customers over isn't what is going to make you more money.
That sucks.
Yeah. So no one cares about that?
No.
No.
But me?
I mean, it just sucks. They're screwing us out of more money. But then again, I was thinking about this the other day. When it comes to like paying like $60 for a video game, like for Skyrim, for example, we all paid the $60, but we've gotten way more than like 20 hours worth of it. And I think I figured it out. Well, obviously 20 hours is $3 an hour. That's like really cheap entertainment. So even though this stuff seems expensive, in all reality, it's they're not getting us for that much money.
Yeah,
but you brought that up, Derek.
Okay, if you want to go by that standard, I paid $20 for Force Unleashed, and that game lasted me about 2 hours. 3 hours tops.
When did we go into the discussion?
Didn't you want to talk about this week,
I don't think you and Derek knows this.
What?
Jared, you know what was the discussion? One of your topics?
Yeah.
It was the only topic.
It was a discussion. Did you know about that, Derek?
No, sorry.
Oh, no, no, that's all right. No, that's fine.
That's a perfect segue.
Oh, you're welcome. Jeez.
Except for now it's not.
Who comes
Except
in?
For right now it's not.
No, that that's was all great, right. But you screwed it up.
Because we'll talk about that shortly, though.
More on that topic later, though, folks.
Stay tuned for that. Coming soon.
Or we can just splice this together and it'll just feel great.
That would just feel great.
Feel good.
I like the way this is feeling.
Well, no, we could... No, just staying on topic, but still referencing what you're saying. It's not the point. Like, Skyrim's a different game, but, like, Need for Speed Hot Pursuit, I don't know how much time you have to put into that game to finish everything in there. But if you're going to put online in a game, either don't put it in there at all, or put it in there and allow us to have access. But the fact that he bought, like, the whole online pass thing exists to penalize people who buy the game used. That's the only reason that exists. Yeah. This person bought it new. They should have access to online. There should not be any problem with that. And the fact that these expire, it just means EA is the devil. I mean, that's the only way I see it. They're a money grubbing corporation who doesn't care about anyone but themselves.
Yeah, but the problem is, Jared, is we still buy games from them. Well, not us particularly, but
we don't.
People as gamers.
But like the mass market do, because the mass market is uneducated. They don't know that that happens.
It's just like people still sell their used games to GameStop.
I do that.
Get off this podcast now.
I don't give a shit though.
Start selling them to Best Buy.
Yeah, about it.
You can do that?
Yeah.
Did we talk about this or something? Explain this to me real quick, because I might just do this.
Because you can, you just go there and you sell your used games to them.
And they gave you cash? You get,
I'm not sure. They might
give you store credit. But still, they have. You're not just buying games then. So, like, you have store credit, you can buy anything that's in Best Buy.
Yeah.
Right.
So, unlike GameStop, where it's like, hey, you use some store credit. Do you want to buy a game that we already opened, but we're going to sell it to you for brand new? No, I don't, GameStop. Do you want to buy something covered in stickers? No, I don't, GameStop.
You want to buy a brand new game and not be able to play it online with the online pass and pay extra $10? Yes, please.
Well, I was just like looking at my game collection the other day, and I'm like, there's a lot of games in here I'm definitely not going to play anymore, so I don't really see a lot of point of having them around. Like, I understand, Jared, you have an insane amount of games. Well, Big L, too. I'm sure you have, like, your collections and stuff like that, but there's a lot of stuff here that I'm never going to even pick up anymore, so I might as well get rid of it.
I don't have a problem with you selling them in. That's not the issue. It's just selling them to GameStop. You should go to Best Buy.
Yeah.
Not that Best Buy is this amazing company, but it's not GameStop.
I didn't know you could even do that at Best Buy. That's a good idea.
It's a lesser of two weebles.
Exactly.
They give you a fair amount of money for this stuff? Because I know if you go to GameStop, they give you like $2 for like shit.
I think you go to Best Buy's website and you can actually type in what games you have, and it'll tell you how much they'll give it to you for, or whatever I'm saying.
Interesting.
Give you for it.
Oh, they're going to give me $1 for Shadowrun.
Wow, that's more than I thought.
You can trade in. Wow, this is so dumb. They'll give you $5 for Halo 3. Or no, $3 for Halo 3.
Well, that's $3 more than it's worth.
I'll give you $1 for Shadowrun.
How dare you. I'll give you Shadowrun. What, do you want me to ship it to you or something? I would have just given it to you if you wanted it.
email it to him.
Yeah, can you email it? All right, well, since we're talking about terrible companies, and we're talking about EA, and Derek brought up Sony before, so you remember how the PlayStation Vita memory cards are going to be like a bajillion dollars for every size?
Yep.
Well,
you can't use a standard SD card, yeah.
Yeah, you can't use a standard SD card. The Vita comes out with proprietary memory cards, which cost like insane amounts of money. 4 gigs is $30, and a 32 gig is $120.
That's so much money.
And $32 usually gets you a 32 gig card, roughly. Something like $30 or $40.
But unfortunately, this is all proprietary. And so Sony's reason, they said, the reason that these are so incredibly expensive is for security reasons.
To secure our profit, is what they're really saying.
It'll secure the security. It'll ensure the security of the Vita. That's all. That's really all they gave. So I don't know what's in these special cards. Some special software that keeps it. What's even happening on the Vita that needs to be protected so bad, other than megabytes of memory from a game save? I don't know, but that's the reason.
And you can't even transfer your files openly. You have to do it through Sony's content management program. That's pretty ridiculous.
Yeah. The crazy thing about this, like, I remember when the Vita came out and we thought, like, oh, $250, that's awesome. But when you get down to it, you're going to be paying $500 for all this stuff.
At least.
With the cards and the games and everything, it's going to be so expensive just to even have the system. I was planning on buying it in February, but I'm probably not now because it doesn't come with any built-in memory. So I have to pay $250 for the console itself. Then I have to pay at least $30 for a 4-gig stick. And then I have to pay for a game on top of that, which is going to be like probably like $50 or so. So I'm paying like $340 or $330 for this.
And how long will that 4-gigabyte card last you if you buy multiple games?
I don't know. I mean, if Sony's track record of handhelds has anything to show for it, it will last pretty long because I'm not going to be buying any games for it.
Seems like now's not a good time to be poor with everything that's going on and how much money they want out of us. Oh, yeah, yeah. Press release information. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, okay, so does anyone here, have you played or do you play Super Street Fighter 4?
Absolutely.
All right, well, you'll be happy to know that there's an update coming for Super Street Fighter 4 in the near future. Sure.
And what is the update, Jared?
Well, it's extremely complicated, so I can't sit here and go down every little bit of...
Just read the press release, please.
I can't. Like, there's nothing...
Jared, just read the press release.
I can't. Because this
press... What does Ryu do now?
Yeah, basically, they're updating a bunch of move stuff. I can't even tell you... I can't even go into every bit of information, but they're updating a lot of the things that are way too complicated for someone like me to understand, like Ryu's move, the Metsu Shuriken, they extended the hitbox upward in third active frame. So if that means something to you, get excited.
I'm so excited!
They changed like all the controls with every character?
No, they didn't.
Somehow?
No. It's just like an update like they would in any other game, any other shooter. They changed things, like fixed...
To balance it?
Because everything in a fighting game works in frames. If you know, I know very little about fighting games, but I've heard other people who are into fighting games talk about it, and they'll say, like, when you're competitive at a fighting game, you learn the frames, how many frames of animation. It's kind of like anything like when you're competitive about another video game, like a shooter, you have different things that you have to learn, how many shots and where, you know, I don't know, I can't even think of any other.
I've never heard the frames thing. That's interesting.
But yeah, so there's different frames of movement and stuff, and they've just changed different things like that. There's a whole press or a whole huge list you can actually get at the Capcom Unity blog website. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes. But it has a huge list of all the different moves and everything that's being updated. So if you're big into Street Fighter 4 and you play competitively or whatever, then you can check out this list. It'll give you a breakdown of different people's moves, how they are changing every little thing about it.
Well, all those moves that they listed, though, I mean, it seemed like a lot of moves for each person. Some of them aren't being changed, or are they all being...
No, I think it's just like a patch update, just fixes, you know, like when we're playing competitively like Halo or something, and there's, you know, we might have an issue with like the way a certain perk or a weapon handles or, you know, something small like that. It's just that for a fighting game.
That's crazy. But it's like with every character listed.
Yeah, I mean, there's always things to fix in a game, especially when you're playing it competitively. There's always stuff that needs to be fixed afterwards. Also, EA, we're going to talk about EA again, but not necessarily in a bad way, but EA has announced that they have bought the company Kick Nation, a developer of a free-to-play social role-playing game. Okay, that doesn't sound right.
Social role-playing game.
Yeah, developer of free-to-play social role-playing games.
So okay. Now you're going to pay a whole lot of money to play these games.
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. These free games, now we're going to make you pay for them.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only reason they bought it. To get some more profit.
Oh, it's Click Nation. Did I say Kick Nation? I meant Click Nation.
Yeah, you did.
Well.
Is it still played with... Or, yeah, played. Is it still spelled with a K?
Yeah.
Click Nation, huh?
ClickNation.com. Get social. They have a bunch of social games if you check out their... their website. They have like Superhero City, Age of Champions, Starship Command, Battle for Earth, and Six Gun Galaxy. So I'm imagining this is just EA moving into the social gaming aspect, try to get some Facebook and Google Plus games up in there and do that whole thing.
That nobody plays. Actually, a lot of people play that stuff, but I would never play that stuff.
Hey, Farmville is awesome.
Ooh.
It says, joining with BioWare and EA is an opportunity to realize our vision for bringing high-quality RPG titles to fast-growing, highly engaged core gamers looking for deeper experiences on social platforms. Which, the whole thing about maybe about having deeper experiences on social games, that sounds great and all, in theory, but most social games require you to do, like, hey, do this, and then wait 17 days, and then spam your friends and try to get people to join. That stuff's not fun.
You can only do so much every day, or every time you log on.
Yeah.
That type of deal.
So, for you to make an engaging social game, it has to cut out all the social elements of it, and I think it would be fun. But anyway, so yeah, Click Nation, part of EA. Look for some Click Nation and EA social games coming in the future.
Boom.
Bam, 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 bam.
Bam, bam, bam. What fun. Else? GamePro. GamePro shut down this week. Or no, they didn't shut down this week.
GamePro actually shuts down tomorrow.
Yeah, it was announced. It's shutting down on the December 5th.
Or I guess Monday. Monday at noon. Last issue will be November. Farewell.
Why are they shutting down?
No money.
Magazines aren't a profitable thing anymore. They were actually surprised we still have them. Yeah, they were actually acquired by PC World, and there are some of the GamePro stuff is going to be on the PC World website having to do with gaming, but the magazine and a lot of the people have been let go. So why? I'm not even sure how their website was doing. I thought their website was doing all right because GamePro. Recently GamePro went to a quarterly magazine, so the only four a year, which was sad enough. But then, you know, right after that, they're just like, oh, now we're gone. Did any of you guys read GamePro growing up at all?
Not really. Nope. I used to get it in the grocery store. I didn't have like a subscription, but whenever I'd go to the grocery store, my mom would take freaking forever, so I'd go over and look at the gaming magazines and the WWF magazines actually. But yeah, I would I would ask her to give me GamePro and I used to read the shit out of it.
So she bought it for you?
Yeah. It wasn't like an every time I went to the grocery store I could have one, but yeah, she bought a lot of them for me.
Yeah, I was only allowed to have one subscription to a magazine whenever I was a kid, and it was the official PlayStation magazine. It was the only one I had.
Oh, I was really hoping you'd say the official Playboy magazine.
Yeah.
The only video game magazine there is.
Disgusting.
That's just because I had a PlayStation anyway.
My earliest memories, or the first time I ever read any gaming magazines and the actual, you could say the catalyst for me even having a passion to write about games or think about games in a different way than just entertainment came from reading magazines like Electronic Gaming Monthly and GamePro. And I thought GamePro was so much different than any other gaming magazine on the market at the time. Each person had, if you remember, they didn't actually have their actual names. They already had their little like personas and different characters. Do you remember that at all?
Remember, what Game Informer used to have that.
Did they?
Yeah,
I didn't read Game Informer back in the day, but they used to go by different nicknames and stuff. And then I always loved Do you remember GamePro's rating system? How it was like different faces, like a happy face or like a sad face or different things like that.
I forgot all about that.
I love that. GamePro was great. I miss them. I actually stopped reading them recently, so I don't know what the new kind of GamePro that was happening these days, what that was like, but it's always sad to see something like that go.
Especially, they're going down, but they're still going to have a website, right?
No, they got absorbed by PC World. PC World acquired them, so GamePro is going to be a section on PC World, but it's not, like, a lot of the people aren't there. A lot of the people got let go. So their website and magazine are gone. Which, I mean, this day and age, not many people read magazines to the point. Magazines are becoming a very niche thing at this point. For me, personally, I love reading magazines. But there's a lot of people out there, especially in the gaming industry, people just want their news quick and fast. Like, companies want to get their news out, whatever it is, press releases or whatever, their reviews. They want it out as soon as they possibly can, you know, right around the game's release. And the best way to do that is on the internet. It's unfortunately, a magazine takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, and you know, you're only coming out once a month, or some magazines are only coming out like once every 2 months or quarterly at this point. So it's not really an efficient way.
Yeah. By that time, the news is already late. Everyone knows about it.
It's unfortunate. Like, I still have a subscription to EGM and PC Gamer, which PC Gamer is kind of going away.
Do you think they'll all go away eventually? Just a matter of time.
Maybe. I mean, there's still some stuff out there. There's ones from England. They have some stuff like Retro Gamer and stuff like that you can still get here in the States. But there's still some. I mean, EGM is around.
And they just started back up recently, right?
Yeah, they started back up, and then they went bi-monthly now. Or not bi-monthly, they went every 2 months. So every 2 months is a new magazine. So we only get 6 a year instead of 12.
That sucks. The Game Informer's still going strong. I mean, even though it's with the GameStop.
It's because they sold the soul of the devil, a.k.a. GameStop.
Which is actually, surprisingly, I like Game Informer now. They're actually pretty decent. So I am glad that a company exists with a magazine company exists with good writers and good content that'll probably be around for as long as GameStop's around. So at least we have that. So yeah, another magazine down. Again, like, guys, who here, does anyone here besides me read magazines? Just any magazines at all?
No, man, it's 2011. It's time to move away from that. It's evolution, man.
I disagree.
I do read Game Informer, though, and I don't know if I'd have it if I didn't have that stupid card that I used from GameStop.
I only get the card for Game Informer.
Yeah.
You're holding us back here. I mean, we have the internet now.
Yeah, but you're losing something in that.
I mean, there's this thing called a blog.
Yeah, it's different to read something in a magazine than it is on a screen.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about just having the physical. People put so much more time into their writing when it's in something like a magazine. Not that there can't be mistakes or bad writing in a magazine, but when it's on a blog and you're trying to get out there to get the information out first, you just slap anything up, get it up there quickly, and it doesn't have to be well written. And
okay, I don't disagree with that at all. But that doesn't mean that magazines are better. That just means that people that write on blogs need to step up their game.
I agree, but the blogs. They kind of create this environment where that doesn't matter. There's no word count when you're writing on
a blog.
That
sucks. Then we need to work on that as a society, I guess. I don't know. But like, let's say, okay, I get the whole thing about people that write in magazines put more effort into it, things like that. But
I'm not saying that people.
Imagine if they did that with blogs, though, and then it would be, because clearly you can't argue that it would be better to have everything electronic versus everything in paper, right? I mean, if you had the same quality of writer writing for blogs as they do magazines, then that would be a better world, right?
I don't necessarily agree. I think there's some, maybe it's just me, but like, I like having, like, I don't like reading books on a Kindle. I'd rather have a physical book. I'd rather have a physical magazine. I like that stuff. But magazines,
I think it's nostalgic. I think you need to get over it.
I don't think it's nostalgia at all.
You need to get over it, Jared.
No, but there's a difference when you're writing on a blog. I'm not saying that people who write on blogs don't put a lot of effort into it, but I'm saying it's just an...
Oh, if you have a blog, you're a moron.
It's...
Oh, great. There we go. We just lost all our blog listeners.
Yeah. Everyone that's listening to our blog. A blog creates an environment, whatever it is, website, blog, doesn't matter. A website creates an environment where you can just simply put something up quick and easy to get it out there. And I understand the idea behind we could put more care into it, but that really doesn't mean as much, I don't think. They're like, if you look at most blogs today about video games, they just throw up some picture and then just write some quick text under it, and there might be a lot of, you know. But in a magazine, they take the time, they create their own art sometimes. Like, if you look at the GamePro Game Informer magazine covers, some of them are pretty great. A lot of them are like drawn in-house by people there, and they look pretty incredible. And I guess,
yeah,
I just like that stuff.
There was a time when I just kept my Game Informer subscription simply for the art, because I could spend about 15 minutes or so just looking at the... Some of them were really, really detailed, where you could just really sit there and look at them.
And I guess there's just some more love and care that's put into a magazine, it feels like, at some points. And writing is an art style, whether you... It's a skill, it's an art form, and...
I don't think anybody contested that.
No, no, no. I'm not saying that, that anyone is, but it kind of loses something when it just becomes like, well, anyone can do it. Anyone can throw it up on the internet, and there you go. I guess it's people who are real journalists and real writers, I guess not having their name in print like that almost is just... It's like someone who says, like, I'm a writer, but they don't write any books. They haven't written any books.
Wow. Did the rest of the Pixel Perfect staff know that you were just going to put out this podcast bashing them?
It's not bashing them.
Oh, I think you're running them into the ground.
How so? I'm part of that.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding!
I write for the site, too, but I don't know. It's disappointing.
Our boss is going to call up Jared tomorrow and be like, yeah, you guys
like,
are all
fired.
What
the hell? Why did you just run us down?
Brian, our podcast comes out on Tuesdays.
I'm sure he agrees with me, anyway.
I'm just kidding. I agree with you, too.
So. Yeah, I agree with you, too, there, Jared. It's, yeah.
Anyway, it looks like I'm the only one.
Remember
definitely.
Looking at Playboys?
What?
Back in the day?
Like when I was a little kid.
It was so much better. Yeah, like looking at Playboys when you were a kid. That's way better than seeing boobs on the internet now. I'm being serious here because, like, you see a boob on the internet and you're like, eh. But, man, back in the day, whenever you saw those magazines, you were like, oh my gosh.
Because you never saw boobs when you were that young. That was a new thing.
That's because when you're a kid, though, you haven't seen, like, any boobs. But when you get older, it's like, oh, the internet, and then there's boobs everywhere, and then it's just like, ah, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, now you don't know what's being photoshopped today, so you never know what you're looking at, if it's real.
Well, they had Photoshop back then. I mean, it wasn't probably Photoshop, but
they cleaned up the photos,
yeah,
for sure.
But they didn't actually, like, take people's faces off and put new faces on, like a hot body.
That's funny how you put that.
Yeah, how often is that happening?
They didn't take people's faces off.
Devin, what are you looking at where they're constantly changing the heads on people's
bodies?
I don't know, okay?
I'm
celebrity
not looking at
porn in general? Anything with a celebrity has that.
Usually has something to do with a horse.
I don't know, there's Scarlett Johansson.
Something to do with a horse and a pig. I don't really know.
What was that about a pig?
Anyway.
You guys want to talk about bestiality?
Anyway,
so let's move on from that, because maybe I'm the only one that cares.
No, I agree with you, Jerry. Definitely, as far as books go, I would definitely rather have a physical copy. And I do like to have the magazines, just see them stacking. Remember when you got rid of all your magazines, Jared?
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Are you sad?
He's so impressed.
He's
although
sad
some
about
of
that.
Those issues could have been a lot of money.
I'm not going to get into every little detail, but I started reading video game magazines in like the sixth grade. I have had every issue of EGM from sixth grade until I was like 20-ish, 19, 20-ish. I think 20.
What happened to them?
I threw them away.
Why?
Because I'm a horrible person.
Why did you do that?
I had this huge... do you remember... I was living in York, and do you remember the one time where I forgot to pay rent for a long time, and I... Or not for a long time, but for like a month, and I thought I was going to get evicted, because like the lady said she was going to take me to court and all that stuff to get the money.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to get evicted. So like, it's one of those things where like, I can't just like call up my dad and be like, hey, I'm getting evicted. Can you drive all the way down here and like help me take all these trips back and forth, taking all this stuff home? So my idea was, I'm going to get rid of anything that isn't absolutely important.
You could have just put the stuff in my house. You lived like one door over.
Yeah, I know, but still.
Or you could have just, you know, paid your rent.
I wasn't thinking of... Yeah, I know. No, no, no.
Well, like,
I had the money
already.
Then. I had the money then, but she already said she was going to take me to court, and I was like, oh, man. I didn't know anything about it. I'm like 19 or 20 years old. I don't know anything about the world.
Well, yeah. You just be like, yo, look, let's try to settle this outside of court, because...
Well, I did get it settled outside of court, but...
That's what everyone wants. No one wants to go to court.
Well, yeah. No, I got that...
Unless you're a lawyer.
...taken care of, but, like, I panicked anyway, and, like, that night I started, like, packing up all my stuff, and... I was like, I'm going to get evicted. I need to be able... Because usually when you get evicted, they're not like, hey, you got 30 days to get your stuff out. They're like, you got 3 days to get your stuff out.
No, they actually do give you 30 days. They have to by law.
Whatever.
That's not what happened where we're at, but...
Well, then they were doing it illegally.
And you could have taken them to court.
Well, I had no idea you were going through this panic and stuff.
Yeah, so anyway, I ended up tossing those because I had these two humongous tubs, years and years of magazines that I threw out, and...
It'd be nice to go back
to a listener, contact you, and be like, hey, I found your magazines. I'll ship them to you.
That would cost them a lot of money. There were a lot of magazines.
Yeah, but they love our podcast so much that they're willing
to do it. That's crazy. So you just took them to the dumpster. That's it.
Hey, if you do want to give me any of your old magazines, you can email me. btwandthepixels@pixelperfectmag.com.
Send it in a PDF form, please.
No. Anyway, that's my biggest regret in life. Let's not talk about it.
Is it really? That can't be your biggest regret.
It's a big one.
What about that kid that you almost had?
Well, dude, look at it this way. Like, what if your house caught on fire or something, and then you lost all of your video games and stuff? Wouldn't that be worse?
That'd be different because that was something out of my control.
Well, what if it was because you had left the candle lit, like an idiot?
I don't like candles, Brian. I'm not a homosexual.
I like candles. Whatever. They smell good.
Case in point, Derek's a homosexual.
Derek, you're a homosexual.
Well, that just happened to my friend, actually. Their apartment caught on fire.
Whose fault?
Homosexual?
I don't think it was anybody's fault.
Was he gay?
Lost a bunch of stuff.
Was he gay lighting candles?
I was just saying, like, I was thinking about that, and I was, like, thinking about what that happened to, like, one of my apartments or something. Like, I never had renter's insurance and stuff. I'm a young kid. I don't know what I was doing when I rented. But, like, yeah. What if that would happen to you?
I had renter's insurance, too. I guess I never told this, but I had renter's insurance, and I videotaped all my stuff. So, to keep a record of it, like, all my games. I sat there, kind of dorky when you think about it, but I sat there and I recorded it and like showed each game that I had.
How's that going to help you if your house burns down?
Because I can present them. Because I have fireboxes.
I was going to say, if that just so like I just burn up in the fire, no. That'd be kind of pointless.
Those boxes are only fire resistant. There's nothing that's really fireproof.
Okay, they're fire resistant. But
yeah, but when something's fireproof enough that it can withstand a blowtorch for an hour,
it's not. House fires don't get so hot that they're gonna melt. That I mean, it's not like I'm trying to melt metal.
What if there's thermite in your house?
Why is there thermite in my house?
I'm just saying.
Then you better have some questions.
Yeah, then I'm probably in trouble.
But what if someone planted C4 directly on that right before your house caught on fire?
And then it rained thermite from the sky.
Nothing would happen because C4 can't blow those open.
Dude, I can't believe you did that. I didn't even know. I had no idea you threw those magazines away. You could
I had no
totally
idea you're such a dork.
House. No, it just sucks. I know you regret it. We should probably stop talking about it. Just gonna make you more upset.
I'm going to start crying.
You alright, dude?
I'm done.
I'm done with this. Okay,
I gotta go. There's something in my eye. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, they're called tears.
Anyway, so hey guys, you guys like video games that you get to play for a lot of hours?
Are we going to talk about Minecraft?
Oh, what? Notched Up Down from Minecraft.
What?
Same reaction that Brian had before.
He's still on Mojang. He's just not the lead on Minecraft anymore. That's
yeah,
it.
Why not?
Because he wants to work on other stuff. He's been working on that game forever.
He's got
to
work on Scrolls now. It's okay. Some cool dude took over.
So anyway, discussion time. Price versus hours.
Go.
So the question is, should the price of video games reflect the number of hours in a video game? Now, to be honest, I actually took this idea from a Destructoid post that I saw, but this isn't like a new conversation or anything that we haven't had before. We've kind of touched on it on like previous podcasts that we've done.
That Destructoid post came directly from us, so that's why we can steal it.
They stole our idea.
They heard
from
our podcast.
Listeners of this podcast.
And they wrote that up. So anyway, that's the idea. Should a $60 game have more playtime in it than a $20 game? Or should a game that costs $60, let's take Gears of War for example. Gears of War single player might only take like 6 to 8 hours to finish. Should it cost less since it's not as long as like Skyrim, which is also $60?
There's no way to gauge how much time a player is going to get out of a game though.
Yeah, because, I mean, I killed Halo 2. I made a weapon store.
You what?
Do you guys remember that? Do you remember that?
You what?
No.
There's this one level in Halo where I just took, like, every single weapon and put it all in one spot. And, like, a couple Banshees and everything else. Like,
Brian,
lined them up
so
perfectly.
Weird.
I don't know how you made it this far in life.
See, Brian artificially extends the life of every game he plays, because he somehow thinks of these little games to create within
then
the
he's
game
out of this that, discussion.
That don't even exist.
Why would you do that, dude? It doesn't make any sense.
I was curious if I could do it.
I would have just assumed that I probably could and just kept going.
That's why it's the worst playing with Brian whenever you play multiplayer things or any kind of co-op. We played Dead Island and you had to like go shopping and stuff while we were just trying to get through some kind of house with zombies in it. It's like, come on, Brian, we need you to get to the door so we can go through the loading screen.
Yeah, Brian would yell like you're not waiting up for me or something. It's like, Brian, because you're looking at every little store. Everything in Dead Island is exactly the same. There's nothing new in there.
You're the biggest nerd ever.
Okay, just because I made an underground weapons shop in Deus Ex Invisible War.
It was in a sewer thing. That was
yeah.
So it's the fact that you're bored with the game that you're doing this.
No, just in general.
Okay, so I think Derek kind of said the point that I was going to get to anyway. So that kind of like sums up the whole
discussion. What's the point?
There. You people argue all the time that like I shouldn't have to pay $60 for this game or this game should be cheaper because the amount of hours that you put into it. But you can't always gauge how many hours that someone is going to put into a game. Some people right. might spend a lot more time in it. There's people, you paid $20 for Portal, which was a 3-hour game, but people have extended the life of that exponentially with mods and whatnot and playing through like different time trials and different situations.
It's also about quality too, because I love the shit out of Portal.
Yeah, absolutely, because like I love Portal 2, and it's most certainly worth $60.
Like you were mentioning Gears of War before, that has a lot of online multiplayer. Like that's one of the main reasons why people buy the game, so they can play online.
It's like unlimited.
Well, what about games that don't have it? What is something about like BioShock?
Or a game like one that I was really disappointed in was Force Unleashed 2.
That was a really short game.
It was incredibly short. It felt like it was an add-on to the game.
You feel that's not worth $60, but would you feel it's worth $20 or $40
yes.
or? But does that make the game any better? Like, what was the game, regardless of price? I don't want to get into the argument whether price should factor into our personal reviews, but regardless of the price, does it make that a bad game? Or is it just not a good game, whether it was $60 or $40
okay,
or whatever?
Regardless of how good the game is or not, I still walk away from the game when I'm done feeling a bit cheated. That I didn't get amount of
enjoyment
out of it.
I don't think the game's good.
What?
Then I think what you're really saying is that the game isn't good. Because even though...
El Shada, whatever that game is.
Shaddai.
El Shaddai. That game was really short. I beat that in one day. And I really like that game, and I recommend anyone go buy it. But I beat that game in like 4 hours or something ridiculously short like that. And I love the heck out of the game, but I still felt cheated at the end that it was over so quickly. Just a little bit. So it kind of jaded my opinion of the game a little bit. Because it wasn't
I think
expansive.
This is a bad idea also because if you're paying per hour or something like that, per hour of gameplay, I just see a lot of developers just making games longer just to get more money out of people.
Then again, but you have to look at...
Because like let's say they have... Let's say it's like $1 an hour. And it definitely wouldn't be that. But and they have like 19 hours, then you're just going to have somebody make an extra crappy level just to make it an even 20. Or even that is like kind of bullcrap.
Yeah, well... What about something like Portal 2? I don't know how long it took me to complete it. Not that long, maybe 6 to 8 hours, something like that. And of course, it has co-op and things like that. But a lot of people were crying out because the campaign felt so short for paying $60 of it. But I feel like if you're not willing... Now, it's one thing if they're asking for a really ridiculous amount of money, but 60 is basically the standard at this point. We're used to paying for $60 for games. I guess from my standpoint, when it comes from a developer that I like and I want to support, I don't mind it because they've put out such quality games. Now, if it's something like El Shaddai, which is from a company that I really don't know that well and I really don't have any feeling towards, and I play the game and it's only 4 hours, yeah, I might feel cheated from that. But something like Portal 2, I walk away from and I thought it was a masterpiece, and I think it's totally worth the $60. And I don't feel cheated at all. You know, even with Portal 2, it was only $20, but I got 3 hours out of it, and I probably would have paid more than $20 for it.
I think that we need to find a way to motivate developers to make better games. I want to pay $60 for a game that's awesome, and $40 for a game that's kind of okay, and $20 for a game that's going to be over, you know, really quickly, and it's not going to be that great.
But think about it. Like, if you see a game that comes out, and this doesn't mean the way it is, but this is the way we perceive it. If you see a game that comes out and it's like, oh, this game's $40, it's like basically saying, this game isn't good.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you hear like, oh, hey, this game is coming out for like $40, $30, $20, like right off the bat, everyone just automatically assumes like that game's probably not good because usually bad games are released for cheaper.
Well, what developer doesn't think that their game is good? Like, which one? Who makes their own game and is just like, it's not that good. We'll just start it at $40.
I think a lot of publishers, they know, like, if they make a movie to game
Deadly
adaptation, or maybe even Deadly Premonition. At this point, he was probably assuming that, you know, no one's even going to like this. It might not even sell, but maybe we'll make enough money to break even. Maybe we'll get lucky with that. Or developers who make, like, movie to game adaptations look at it and say, like, okay, this is how much money we're going to lose making this game, but we're going to pump it out in a year, and we'll probably make more than that. We'll probably come out a little bit on top, so we won't, you know, end up losing much from it in the end.
A lot of those games do come out for $60, don't they?
Some of them, yeah. But I'm just saying...
Crackdown came out for $60.
Is that based off a movie?
No.
Oh, I thought that's what we were talking about.
And then they made Crackdown 2!
But Crackdown...
But that had the incentive to play the Halo 3 beta.
Yeah, I know. That's the only reason I bought it, but I'm just saying.
But it also had a lot of... it was repetitive and boring at certain points, but it still had a lot of stuff to do in it. Like, you still could spend a lot of hours doing stuff if you were actually
jumping
into
on
that
buildings.
Game.
That's about it.
Still.
Jumping off buildings.
Assassin's Creed Brotherhood for... Or not Brotherhood. Revelation. I keep on doing that. Assassin's Creed Revelation. Like, the storyline was pretty good, but there wasn't... Like, in Brotherhood, there was a lot of side quests and a lot of other, like, little things you could do. But in Revelation, it didn't feel like there was quite that side quest stuff. I mean, if a game's short, the storyline is short, but there's, you know, some degree of replay value or some degree of side missions, then I don't mind as much.
Well, what if the side missions aren't that much fun? I mean, like you said with the Thieves Guild in Skyrim, it kind of gets repetitive. Do you want developers just to artificially extend it just because you paid $60 for it? That's
yes and no. I mean, to a point, I don't mind, but if it's just getting horribly repetitive, then it's a terrible game anyway.
Right. I don't want to pay $60 just so the developer can shove in more content that I don't even care about, just so I can have the hours.
Yeah. I think about L.A. Noire. I mean, that game could have been cut off in like 8 to 10 hours, and I probably would have enjoyed it more than the 25 hours I put into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think gamers are stuck in this because a lot of us grew up in a time where we had a lot of time and games were much more difficult. So it seemed like we put so much time into these old video games. And now today, we're always like, I want these huge games. Like, I pay $60 for, like, these new games all the time, but I'm not getting, like, a bajillion hours out of it. But that's not realistic. Some games, like L.A. Noire, that game doesn't need to be long. But it was certainly worth a $60 price tag, even if it was shorter. At least I think.
Yeah.
And we don't even have the time to put into a lot of these games at this point, so I don't know why everyone constantly
the rate,
wants every game
yeah, the
to be
rate
longer.
That games are coming out, and for as much as we play different games, or at least some of us do, I don't want to play... Even Skyrim, like I said, it was already overwhelming having that many things to do whenever I want to play other games as well. I don't want
See,
to be
I just don't
all that
have
stuff.
The I don't have the money to buy new games every couple of weeks.
Well, I don't either, but I find ways.
So I'd rather get my money's worth out of games that I choose to buy. Excuse me. Choose to buy.
Choose to throw up on my mic.
It was like that burp snuck up on you. It's like, here it is. There's a burp. Ah.
Yeah, I know you're more particular about... You're obviously not buying games or playing games as often or varied as some of us are, but something like El Shaddai, like how much did you pay $60 for El Shaddai?
50 something.
Okay, but you knew like nothing going in, right?
Right. Well,
but that's your own fault at that point.
I think I might have talked about this on the podcast before, but at my local GameStop, there's actually like one or two people who I wouldn't say I know on a personal level, but I know enough to trust their recommendations because they're not going to BS me because they kind of know me a little bit. So when I go in there and I say, what do you think about this game? And if they say no, that usually means I'm not going to like it either.
Wouldn't you say that's more your fault for not knowing about El Shaddai? Cause...
Well, yeah. But I'm just saying, as I bought it on a recommendation. It's just like a recommendation from a friend.
Right. Well, I'm just saying for not knowing like the hours and whatnot.
These particular employees have not tricked me into buying things just for sales. They don't do that. Some of them do, don't get me wrong, but the ones that I trust don't. Don't get me wrong, I would still recommend the game, but I still feel just a little bit, because, you know, I don't make a lot of money, so I get to buy a new game every couple of months. And if I buy a new game and it only lasts me a couple hours, then I'm like, well, now what am I going to play?
Well, what do you suggest developers do at that point? I mean,
add side missions.
It's not always that simple, though. So
even in Brotherhood, they added a lot of side missions and things like that. But in Revelation, they didn't. They just cut it all out. And I just felt a bit cheated. Of course, if I would have paid anything for the game, I would have felt cheated. But I can't even feel cheated because I got it for free.
Well, what? Well, they stole your time. I guess you could argue that.
Okay, wow.
No, that's a good point. That's a relevant point.
If the game was terrible, then I would say that they stole my time, but I enjoyed playing it while I did. But I just wish I would have enjoyed playing it longer.
Well, what do you guys suggest developers do at this point? I mean, other than, adding content. I mean, it sounds easy just to say, like, just add more content.
Well, but side missions. Minigames.
Yeah,
That's not always relevant, though.
That's not always relevant, easy, or interesting. Like, Gears of War, I'm not a big Gears fan, but there are people out there who enjoy the main game and don't even play the other stuff. Now, they have added co-op and horde mode and things like that, but what if they want more of the main game? I mean, you can't just add in, like, mini-games and side missions.
Yeah, they don't have, like, side quests in that linear game. You know, I think some people would even feel cheated from Skyrim. I mean, Derek beat it, at least the main story, really quick, and even though they added a butt ton of extra stuff to do, which is way more than the main story, I think some people who only play the main story for what the story is worth, they may have felt cheated from that game.
Well, I don't know. I mean, if the game has replay value, but a lot of games that I've been playing don't have that replay value either, even.
So $60 games should only be for a certain sect of games, like Skyrim and other games that have, like, large multiplayer or replay value components.
Well, like Gears of War has that large multiplayer component. So if I was into Gears of War and all my friends were getting it, we were all going to play it online, then I wouldn't feel bad about paying $60 for it. Like, I didn't feel bad about paying $60 for Dead Island because there was a lot of multiplayer stuff and I can extend, I can get my money's worth out of it. But games like El Shaddai, where there's really not a multiplayer component.
Yeah, I think it's a whole
just
different
do
story.
It, and then there's not even multiple endings, so I don't know. It just didn't. The game was worth buying, but I don't know if it was worth buying at full price. So if I would have paid $40 for $30, then yes, I would have felt awesome about the game and not felt cheated.
I mean, the truth is, I don't think there really is any way to, like Derek said at the beginning, there's really no way to gauge. Because there's no way to gauge a player's playtime with a game. Because for me, Dead Island, I wouldn't have touched had it not been for you guys if I wasn't playing with someone else. But even then, I don't think it was worth it. I there's nothing in there that I feel like was worth the $60 that I spent on it. But then there's other games where like Brian with Deus Ex, you know, or Halo 2, you know, making little games with inside the game, you know, where he's building shops and or whatever, doing weird stuff. But even
that doesn't count. I don't know anybody else ever that would do something like that.
Sure, why doesn't that count? Like, however you want to play the game, you know, you're still playing the game. Whether or not you're playing it the exact way that the developers designed it or not, you're still playing the game.
That was completely unintentional, though.
I agree with Derek. That doesn't count. That's like giving a game to a retard.
No, no, no. How does that not count? How does that not count?
Because
it's
not intentional gameplay.
That's like giving it to a kid who plays a game like over and over. Like, my childhood doesn't count for that stuff.
No, 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 no. No, that's
so now,
like
Devin, you're calling me a retard? Screw you.
Brian.
You don't seem that upset about him calling you a retard, though.
Why can't people play video games the way that they want to play them? Why
can.
Exactly. So what if...
You can,
so
you just don't count in this conversation.
Sure it does.
Why not something like Moose is, or like what Brian is doing, though. I mean, it's like giving somebody a game and then there's a mini game in there that they really freaking love, so they play it over and over and over and over again.
They are still playing the game. How is that...
I don't disagree with that, but you can't really factor that into the cost of the game, because that's a one-off situation, if you ask me.
No, 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 yeah. It's not... It's more of a rarity, but I'm saying... I'm not saying that it even has to factor into price, but I'm saying you can't gauge a player's time with price, yeah. is what I'm getting at, because yeah, people play it differently. So, like, it absolutely counts, like, how much... Because, Brian, like, I've played the Deus Ex games more than most people ever have, because I've played them over and over and over again, the amount of time that I've put into those games. So, for me, paying whatever the cost doesn't even matter at this point, because I've put so much time into it.
I guess this is kind of a weird conversation for me, because I don't really see a problem with the way games are priced, but I see a big problem with the way people charge so much for downloadable content whenever I feel like this should have been in the game in the first place. I think that sometimes, I think a lot of times, developers hold back content just so they can release it later as a DLC, and I don't like that at all. That seems like gouging to me.
That's a whole different problem.
Yeah, it's a pretty big... Well, see, here's the thing where I don't have a problem with... If you look at the last 3 months of, or whatever it is, last 2 months or something of development time before it comes out, or not the actual development time, but before it comes out, a lot of times the games, they're finished, they're off to, you know, to finish up the boxes, the artwork, to get all that stuff made, get the discs ran off, get them shipped out to the places and stuff. So what are they going to do for that last month or 2 months? They could work on some DLC that might be available shortly after the game comes out.
You know what I say to all that? Fuck that. Because everybody should be trying as much, like, the whole process of a video game coming out should accommodate the developers as much as possible. Because essentially, what we're trying to do here is make really good games. Trying to make the consumer really happy with the product, and you want to get hours of gameplay out of this type of thing. So I think that if they're a month ahead of schedule or behind schedule or something like that, then they should change the schedules around. The company should eat that. I mean, they should accommodate the developers as much as possible.
Yeah, I agree, but that's just not realistic. I mean, you have companies like Valve and Blizzard who can work on a project for like a year and just say, nope, we're not going to do that, and they can drop it, and they're fine with that. But then you have other smaller companies that can't afford to do that. They have to make every single one count, and they have to have a game out. They can't go, you know, like 4 years without releasing a game and then release a turd or something like that. So they have their own constraints by the publisher, unless they're a self-published company, you know, like Valve.
I see your point.
They have to listen to what the publisher says at that point.
That makes sense. I get that.
We just need to completely get rid of publishers. That seems to be the root of all evil.
The problem with DLC, though, is when the game is released and then there's day one DLC, and then you look at what the size download is for it, and it's like a couple megs, and then you know that all it is, or a couple kilobytes, all you know is that, or then you know that it's just a code to unlock the content that's already on the disc. That's different. That's horrible.
Like what Battlefield did?
That is some bullcrap.
Like what?
Isn't that what Battlefield did or something? Or was that Gears?
I think it was Gears.
Yeah, it was Gears.
Yeah, it was Gears.
That is so stupid. Why do they do that?
It was already on the disc.
Well, I agree. I don't know.
That should be illegal.
And we charge you for the DLC just to unlock the content. That's crazy.
That's like, dude, I don't know if you've seen like the Mountain Dew and Dr. Pepper promotions for games recently or not, but like if you put in these codes from caps of Mountain Dew and you get double XP for Modern Warfare 3, stuff like that. But I got a Dr. Pepper one and I put it in on the site and it was like you can get these avatar items or something really stupid. And like you can put in codes for like The Sims and you can get like Dr. Pepper bathtubs and crazy stuff. It's like people don't want this stuff, and like
apparently
here's
they
Mountain
do.
Dew. That's craziness, though. I mean, why do people care about avatar items that much? Whenever
I don't know,
Mountain Dew is giving away double XP time. That is so much more valuable than freaking.
I don't know. I don't get why any of that stuff like premium. You can buy premium backgrounds for your 360.
That's pretty dumb.
It's like paying for wallpapers. Like, are you kidding me? But people must pay for this stuff because they keep bringing out avatar stuff. They keep bringing out, you know, themes. People must buy this junk because they're just that stupid.
You're paying for, like, pixels.
You could argue that for all games. But the difference is, like, you can't do anything with them.
What enjoyment do you get looking at your avatar?
Or your background. Like, I don't spend a lot of time on the 360 back or the dashboard that I need to see a background.
Exactly.
I did put some time into making my avatar look cool, though.
The only background I've ever bought was the Fable one, the original Fable background.
Why, nerd?
What?
Yeah, why nerd?
Why would you need that?
Because I like the game.
That's so stupid. Why can't
of all the fun times I've had with
how
the game.
How hard would it have been for Microsoft to build in some kind of system where you can just look at pictures from your computer and pull them over to your Xbox and make them your background?
But therein lies
done.
The problem, Derek. It's incredibly easy, but the problem is that they lose a lot of money doing that.
That's stupid.
It's the Microsoft, man. It's the MS.
It's the man trying to hold me down.
The M dollar sign.
Give us our free backgrounds. Occupy Microsoft.
Come on, this is 2011.
Occupy your
Xbox. I understand
Xbox.
The concept
well,
of
is
backgrounds.
That all that money going to Microsoft? Or is it going to the developer?
That's the pure items. Revenue for them. You got to understand, they're not burning any resources by allowing you to download a picture and put it as your background.
Yeah, I know, but
this is pure
who's
revenue
it going to?
I don't know who exactly it's going to.
So if you wanted to support your game that you just bought or whatever and you thought it was great, I mean, heck, you might as well just buy the Avatar stuff if you wanted to buy something.
Yeah, but you'd pay, like, what, a couple bucks? That's a drop in the bucket to these developers. That's not going to buy them lunch.
Oh, sure it will when tons of people do it.
I'm fine with the idea of if I know the money is going directly to the developer.
Yeah.
And it's something where it's like, yeah, maybe, okay, this is dumb, but I get a little thing out of it. You know, it's fine. It's better than donating and not getting nothing, I guess. That's one thing. But if it's something where it's just like pure profit for Microsoft, well, screw them.
It's almost like you're showing your support for the video game developer.
The best thing I like about it, though, is like if you buy a premium theme, once the dashboard updates, it doesn't work anymore. So if you guys remember when the 360 first came out and they had the blades, and they had like themes back then where it's just like two or three pictures on each, or like one picture on each blade.
Yeah.
And then they updated to the newer style, and they have premium themes now, but now they're moving over to the Metro style from like Windows 8 style thing. And once that happens, all your premium themes for this current dashboard are going to be irrelevant. So all the stupid money that you spent on that isn't even going to matter.
My Fable background still is relevant.
It still might work because it's just a static regular background. But I mean like the premium themes that... If you bought a premium theme, they're much different on the current 360. It's not just a background. It changes things. Like where like your avatar is, what they're doing and stuff. On
did
your
you
friends
guys,
list.
Did you guys see that new Super Nintendo portable device they have out? It's called like Superboy or something?
Yeah. But I have a smartphone which I have, by the way. But I just put an emulator on there and play Super Nintendo games.
Yeah, but you don't have to do it with this.
Yeah, but why would I want to carry around that giant thing and then put in giant Super NES cartridges
on top
of it? Oh,
it's not that giant.
Okay, it's bigger than my phone, which is too big at that point.
Do hours matter in video games?
I say no.
I say yes.
Jared says no. It doesn't matter how many hours there is to a game, it's more to it than that. It's your own personal experience. That's what I got from Jared.
So Jared, if you spent 1 hour on a video game...
If it was an awesome 1 hour, then it's not going to be worth $60 either way.
Okay, yeah. If it's $60 and it's 1 hour, that's one thing. But I don't mind... Like,
it better be a life-changing video game if it's $60 an hour.
If it was an hour and I still paid for it, but not like $60... Maybe it was like $20 or something. I don't know. If it was like an indie game, maybe. If I was supporting them. It's the thing is, the answer to this question is not cut and dry. It's not something that's very easy, black and white. Because there's so many factors that go into it. Like something, like I mentioned before, Portal was only 3 hours long. I paid $20 for it. I bought Portal multiple times, but I paid $20 for it. And for some people, that doesn't add up. That's not good enough because... You know, you could say a 3-hour movie for cheaper than that, but for a game, that's pretty short. 3 hours in general.
Yeah, you got a couple hours of co-op out of it too.
No, I mean for the first Portal.
Oh, okay.
That's pretty short. But then again, I like the developer. I love Valve, so I don't mind giving some extra money. What
vanity, if you ask me?
What?
Vanity, if you ask me.
I think you misunderstand the definition of vanity.
Well, I just think it's vanity to put a couple bucks down to make you feel better. Because I gave this to the developers. No, you didn't.
Okay. First of all, that's certainly not vanity, but
is it irony? Come on.
No. Just get through all the words.
I know what I'm buying Derek for a Christmas dictionary.
Is that a dilemma?
Paradox.
Paradox.
It's a paradox.
No, it's not even that. Well, first of all, the money actually does go straight to Valve because they're their own publisher, so they get full profit. But it's not something to make myself feel better. It's something I'm okay with because I like that developer. I want to support them. I show my support. Like the website Giant Bomb, I love that website. I love what they do. I love the content that they bring. So I don't mind paying for like a premium membership or buying t-shirts from them because it's something I support. It's something I would like them to continue doing. Maybe I will. Yeah, but if you
like
them
so much,
why don't you grow up?
Yeah. I'm sorry I don't steal everything, Derek. I support my developers and the things I'm a fan of. Regardless, I like to support the things that I like.
So let's end this on a good note.
I'm not on a bad
note.
We got
a funny story or something.
Hey, do you know that they have $2 6-inch subs at Subway right now?
$2 subs?
$2 6-inch subs.
Oh, yeah, you can get a meatball sub. It's 6 inches. You can get a meatball sub for $2.
Still, you can get two of them.
You can get 12 inches for four bucks.
Yeah. But the only ones you can get is... you can get the meatball sub ones and the cool cut trio. Those are the only two you can get. But they're still pretty good.
Meatball subs are awesome at Subway, man.
Yeah. The only problem with meatball subs, though, is like it's great in theory, but like when you bite into it, you either have to bite the whole
the meatball
out, or like try to slowly chip away at it.
Yeah,
it's a chip away.
I've never had that problem, not in my entire life.
Not my entire life of eating meatball subs. I've never had that problem.
I chip away for sure.
Yeah. So go get some Subway this week, guys.
That's it, folks. Hope you enjoyed this week's discussion on episode 13. If you ask Big L, it's
14.
Actually episode 14.
Thank you.
Of Between the Pixels. Follow us on Twitter at BTWN The Pixels. And rate us on iTunes 5 stars, son. This weekly podcast, released every Tuesday, is also available on Stitcher. Be sure to check out the latest articles on pixelperfectmag.com every day.
So, how long is too
done.
Long?
Oh. Not done. Got feedback or a topic you want us to discuss? Hit us up by emailing us at btwnthepixels@pixelperfectmag.com. And remember, the views expressed on this podcast are those of the respective speakers and not necessarily those of Pixel Perfect, its staff, or advertisers.
It's staffs.
See if you can cut that S out of there for me. If not, I'll just give you staff.
Can you cut some syllables out and cut all my vowels out?
Staff, staff, staff.
Those are all your replacements.
Here, just use this. Staff.
All right, the end.
The end.